I love that. We're talking about God the Holy Spirit over the coming weeks. We've already engaged a couple times. And I want us to think about, or you think about with me, what do you think about God showing up? What does it look like? What should it look like? What do you think it's supposed to look like? When we think of God showing up, we often think of loud, overwhelming, undeniable power, some sort of fire, thunder, some like crazy experience, earth-shaking moment, something that cannot be ignored. Like you must look at it, experience it. Something for some that maybe proves God is here. But what we will find today in this particular story, Brent already highlighted, we're talking about God the Holy Spirit like a dove. One of the Gospels will even say, well, all of them say it was a dove, but one will even point out it was something physical. So we think a dove. But when it comes to a dove, that can feel honestly a little, maybe it's not just me, maybe it's you too, underwhelming. A dove? That's all you got? Couldn't have been something stronger. I mean, listen, I recently, on a drive about a month ago, was driving from my house in Jacksonville to work here. And I, about midway, going kind of the back way that I do sometimes, saw an eagle. And here is my wonderful picture. This is my picture. I could have found an awesome picture of an eagle, you know, but so I turned around, stopped, and took a picture of this eagle. Man, I've seen some on the river trip in Grants Pass, that river, the, you know, the jet boats. I recently saw some in driving to Ashland, which I was shocked a pair, but I've never seen one like on that little journey before. I discovered that Southern Oregon, Klamath being one of the main places, is the most populated place for eagles in the wintertime that nest. So I was shocked to hear that. So when I think of God coming down, and I think Freebird playing in the background, you know that? I know it was a recent Bud commercial too, not to mention, you could even say that, pull that out, and Ron just mentioned Bud, a Budweiser on the, you know, okay. But, and an eagle just, man, how they come down and just land in, wouldn't it be awesome if somebody, I should have had that, not Jake, a dove, like an eagle come in and land on my shoulder, like it was just random. Yeah, and Freebird's playing in the background. If this is God, why not something like that? I think we want a spirit when we talk about the Holy Spirit that impresses. But in this story as well, one of the words, we even sang it. I love that song, Come Rest on Us. God reveals him and the Holy Spirit that rests. Some of you might have been asking God to show up. It's probably a common thing for a lot of us. And it has not looked like you expected. But even more, this is what's interesting, not how you wanted. So now you're wondering, did I miss him? If the Spirit is like a dove, why does my life feel so chaotic? Because we hear peace, rest, presence, but we feel anxiety, noise, and disconnection. Maybe you sat like me and my wife staring at the news last night, just this unbelievable experience that our world continually goes through. So what is it? Holy Spirit, powerful or peaceful? Most of us assume it cannot be both. We think it needs to be one or the other. But what if the problem isn't the Spirit? What if it's our expectation? Until you realize the dove is not weak, this is interesting. One of the things that I want to present to you today is that the Holy Spirit is intentional. Maybe the deeper question is, have I been missing him because I was expecting something louder in my life? Maybe the reason this feels confusing is because we've been expecting fire when God has been trying to give us presence. Some of us have been asking God for something bigger, louder, and clearer, but what if what we've needed all along is closer than we thought? So I want to take a moment to look at it in Scripture. Now remember this. We are almost like layering as we talk about God the Holy Spirit. We are layering more and more upon. We will not answer all your questions today, tomorrow, you know, next Sunday, and as we move forward. You may have even more that you want to bring up separately, but we're layering who God is, what he is like. And most of them, when I look at them, are encounters. So in your notes, you'll even see this idea of a Holy Spirit encounter that we have with God. So this story today, at least the anchoring story, is found in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13. And I wanted to include verse 1 of chapter 4 to give some perspective. All right. Here we go. It's on your notes. If you have your Bibles, I always encourage you to bring them. Write down things, highlight, underline, whatever. It says, Jesus went from Galilee to the Jordan River to be baptized by John. But John tried to talk him out of it. I'm the one who needs to be baptized by you, he said. So why are you coming to me? But Jesus said, it should be done, for we must carry out all that God requires. So John agreed to baptize him. There's a lot in there, but not for this Sunday. After his baptism, as Jesus came up out of the water, the heavens were opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove. And then here it is, some translations may say rest, settling, resting on him. And a voice from heaven then spoke, God the Father, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. Some translations you'll read, in whom I am well pleased. Then Jesus, and here's why I include one, because it'll come up later and we'll come back to this again. Right after this amazing experience and all that it brought, Jesus was then led by the Spirit into the wilderness to do what? Hang out for 40 days and eat snacks and barbecue? No, to be tempted there by the devil. Jesus steps into the water, the heavens open, the Spirit descends like a dove and settles on him. And then the Father speaks and declares, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy, in whom I am well pleased. And then, empowered by the Spirit leads him into the wilderness. The Spirit comes, the Spirit stays upon him, and the Spirit leads him. God's power doesn't always arrive loudly, but it always arrives purposefully. It's intentional. I think this is important. I'll mention it again in a moment. So, to get right to your notes, if you want to fill in some blanks and write some things down, and just write something down today. I mean, take the notes, fill in the blanks, make it the game that you do probably every week, right? And do that thing. But really listen to what the Spirit is saying to you today. And maybe if you just key on one thing, write that down concerning something he may be inviting you to in this encounter with him. So let me show you three ways the Spirit moves like a dove, this resting and revealing and leading us home. Number one of the things that we see in here, and there's a lot, but the Holy Spirit rests on us, settles upon us with a presence that empowers us for God's purpose. This is very important that we have this as a foundation as it leads into other things that arise concerning God the Holy Spirit. The Spirit rests on you to empower you for what God is calling you into. The Spirit didn't just touch Jesus. It says he settled and rested on him. This was not a moment. You can think of this word, and again, this will probably come back up. This was an anointing we read about. Now, in Pentecostal movements, which is my history, that often meant a lot of things. Like you might come up to the pastor afterwards and say, man, that teaching was really anointing. You were anointed. And maybe there's some truth to that. I don't know. Sometimes I think it's just because you liked it and it felt good, or you thought that we wanted to hear that and it made me feel fantastic. That's not exactly what it means. But it does mean that this person anointed, or that anointing is something that is set apart, someone who is consecrated. It gives authority to do God's work. Now listen to this. This is fantastic. The prophet Isaiah said this would happen. Go to Isaiah 11:2. The prophet Isaiah wrote concerning Jesus, and the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him. The spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of God. All right, when you jump to Luke, for example, in the Gospels, these stories and the life of Jesus, in Luke 3 and 4, you'll see this everywhere fulfilled. Jesus, it says, as we read earlier in our portion for us, but then repeated in Luke, he's full of the Spirit when the dove comes, the Spirit comes. He is then led by the Spirit. And then after the temptation in the desert, he moves in the power of the Spirit. In Luke chapter 4, as we see that progressively come about in his life, as a rabbi now, as an older man who has learned and grown in the Lord and learned and grown in just what it means to be a Jewish teacher, he enters a synagogue and he declares from the prophet Isaiah again, which is Isaiah 61, 1 and 2. Here is the fulfillment of what Isaiah spoke of. This is Luke 4, 18 through 19. When he says, and keep Isaiah 11 in mind. Now he says about himself, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Here's where we can misunderstand a lot of what God the Holy Spirit is doing, how he's moving. We picture all these moments as soft and gentle and quiet, like a dove just kind of floating down. But people who have actually seen doves descend say something different. For example, the Birdman Jake in our congregation here, if you know who he is a very interesting man to talk to. And he has layers about himself. And what they say, and what you'll read about, is it's actually loud. Wings are beating, air is moving, almost forceful. It's not delicate or violent. I wrote it this way, and I'm just really holding on to this. It's intentionally disruptive. So when the Spirit is upon Jesus and leads him, a lot of what he begins to do and look at his life, he is Spirit-led, and it is intentionally disruptive into the lives of people. Like a dove coming down, and suddenly it is coming down slowly. But then you've noticed, you've probably seen it, they start flapping their wings like crazy to slow down and land upon what they are going to land upon. The Spirit came upon Jesus with power, determination, and purpose, not to impress, but to empower to do the work of God. So maybe the Spirit isn't less powerful than we thought. Maybe he's more intentional than we expected. This goes back to the beginning of creation. Genesis 1 and 2, maybe in every sermon that we talk about concerning the Holy Spirit. Genesis 1, 2, the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. This chaos at the moment. That word hovering carries the image of a bird protecting, sustaining, preparing. Deuteronomy will bring it up later, the book of Deuteronomy, in a verse that uses the same imagery as a bird hovering over its young. So at the Jordan River, this is creation language. The Spirit hovering again, but now over Jesus, the beginning of new creation. The Holy Spirit is gentle but not tame, peaceful but not passive. The same Spirit that rests like a dove leads Jesus into the wilderness. The Spirit's presence is not just comfort, it is empowerment for mission. It is, He is, the person of God, Holy Spirit, is intentionally disruptive in our lives. And if you want the presence of God come rest upon us, you may have an expectation and probably should that that may be disruptive in your life. Because if you want the presence of God, then we must be open to the leading of God. Some of us want the Spirit to rest, but we don't want the Spirit to lead us. I mean, I talk about this all the time. I sing these songs. I pray these prayers. I am invitation in. Come on, until He starts messing with me. And then I'm like, what am I doing? No, man, I didn't ask you to disrupt my life. I wanted peace and comfort and healing and help. And He provides all that too. But often to get there, the invitation is for Him to start working and moving. We want peace, but we do not want disruption. We want comfort, but not a calling of God to do something different, especially when it comes to Him. Like, come, Holy Spirit, rest upon me, and all the sin that I'm hiding, bring it out so everyone can see it. It's awesome. I just want the eagle, man. But the Spirit doesn't just settle on you to make you feel something. He settles on you to send you somewhere. In your notes, He rests on you to strengthen you for what God is calling you into. But something else happens in that moment as well. The Spirit rests, and then God the Father speaks. This is the awesome part too, man. And what He says, it changes everything. Number two, the Holy Spirit moves like this. What does He do? He reveals our true identity as children of God, and He anchors us in His love. This matters. Because when He comes, and as we learn to invite Him into these spaces of our lives and our community, and it's disruptive or messes with us, or He's inviting us into some other next step. I mean, it could be someone over here walking over there and saying hi to somebody. That might be something that He speaks to you about. It could be a call to get baptized, a call to move, a call to deal with something that you're battling but no one knows about, or to break some sort of relationship with something or someone. Who knows what it is? But if we don't know who we truly are in God, it starts messing with us in a way that we are paralyzed and cannot move. Before Jesus does anything, this is awesome. God the Father declares who He is. Jesus hasn't preached yet. I mean, we have a little glimpse of Him doing some stuff when He was a kid. He has not performed miracles. It doesn't look like He's done any ministry yet. And God the Father says, this is my dearly loved Son who brings me great joy. Identity comes before activity. We get that backwards all the time. We think if I perform, then I'll be accepted. This goes deep in a lot of us. But God says, you're accepted, now live from that. Look at this. Paul writes to the Roman church. There's plenty of places in Scripture to reinforce this. But in Romans 8, 15 through 17, and again, some of these scriptures you're going to hear multiple times over this series. So you have not received the Spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba Father. For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. Oh, and since we're his children, we're his heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share his glory, I don't like this part. We must also share his suffering. And to do that, I need to know who and whose I am. Galatians 4, 4 through 7 says, but when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the spirit of his son into our hearts. Here it is again, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. The Spirit doesn't give you power. He tells you who you really are. Most people, I'm one of them, can get exhausted trying to perform for identity. It's exhausting. While God is trying to speak identity over them, and the Spirit comes, one of the things that the Holy Spirit does is confirm our adoption, remove our fear, and he anchors us in his identity for us. He rests on us so that he can reveal who he is and who we are. The Spirit rests so the Father's voice can reach us through all that noise and spiral. Some of you don't need more effort. You need to hear the Father say again, you're my son. You are my daughter. I love you. And I am pleased with you. You bring me great joy. Not because of what you've done, but because of whose you are and who I am. You do not, in your notes, perform for identity. You live from it. But the Spirit doesn't stop there. He doesn't just rest, settle on your life. He starts leading your life. And you see how this kind of moves one into the other? We need him rest upon us. And I need, because some of that's going to be intentionally disruptive, I need to know whose I am. And so number three is this. This is where it can get deeply personal. The Holy Spirit leads us home to God, reminding us where we belong. Now, Jake, who has, doves and pigeons. And if you see doves are prettier to some. But in the Bible, it could have been a pigeon too. But we're going to go with dove though, okay? I was talking to Jake about this, and you can obviously read about this all over online. But there's something very powerful about these doves and pigeons, that they don't just descend. You know this, they know where home is. It was really cool. If you want to can't come to a men's group at 6 a.m. to 7 a.m. on Thursdays in the room there, you're welcome to come. And Jake just happened to bring a container of doves or pigeons, whatever they were, right? And so he tells me, you want to go watch them? I'm training them to go home, you know? Do you want to go watch it? And I'm like, yeah. So we went out there. Some of the guys stayed and we watched. And he grabbed one and threw it up in the air, and it landed on the roof right out there. Again, I wish it would have landed on me, but that's just a whole nother, thing. And then he got the box out and he opened it. And I don't know if there was a dozen birds, whatever. They flew off. He kind of told us what would happen. They would start circling, and you see them start. It's really beautiful. There's a lot of beautiful things, but I'll get too into it if I don't stop with some of it. But they start circling and circling, and as they're circling, they're gathering together. Very interesting. I mean, there's probably great church stuff in there, but they're gathering, And they eventually, we can't see him anymore. He texted me later, it took him 4 minutes to get home. And he's gonna eventually get them out. I was asking him, how far can these things get away from home and make it? And there's stories, it's thousands of miles, there's stories of them, thousands. There's something built into them. That homing instinct. You know, he was talking to me about storms can confuse them. Very interesting, the storms of our life. Thunder can disorient them, the loud things that steal away and give us fear. Predators can threaten them. I mean, there's plenty of stories of hawks, and I even watched one of those, you know, at a wedding. Yeah, okay. I mean, I wasn't doing the ceremony, but the pastor should have said, let's just call this one, okay? It's not good. No, sorry, if that happened at your wedding, I apologize. But it's interesting, like you can really apply that to life. Storms and thunder and on can confuse, disorient, threaten, and all that it does to our identity, and we become paralyzed, we can't get home, we get defeated, blah, 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 all that. But they will fight through anything to do what? Get back home. This is what's beautiful about God. My experience, what I see in his word, the Holy Spirit in you is always pulling you home. You see it in scripture. Think about this. The flood comes. They're in the ark. And Noah sends out a dove eventually. It comes back with an olive leaf. It's not time yet. He does it the last time. And it found home. It didn't come back because it found its home. New creation. Peace, restoration. You want even better? The prodigal son story. Leaves home. He becomes aware of his depravity eventually. And something inside him says, go home. I don't know if I'll be accepted, but go home. The Father is there waiting for him. These will come up multiple times again. John 14, 26. The Holy Spirit will remind you of everything I have told you, where home is. 1 Corinthians 2, 10 through 12, we have received God's Spirit so we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. Grace. Holy Spirit will remind you. He will accept you. Go home. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14, this will actually be a teaching on seal. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal. The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. You've been sealed with the Spirit. He's the guarantee that you belong to God. And the Spirit affirms that so that even when life feels chaotic, even when you drift, even when you feel far, there is someone in you pulling you back home. Parents who follow Jesus, do not ever give up on praying for your kids. We pray that the Holy Spirit will bring them home. For spouses, for friends, for family. The same Spirit that rests will lead you home. You are never too far in your notes because the Spirit in you knows the way home. So a pigeon or dove may have a distance, but the Spirit does not. So let's go back to the opening question. Why a dove? Because God is not trying to impress you. He is trying to rest on you. With his presence, he's trying to reveal your true identity and lead you home. The Holy Spirit comes with power, just not always in the way you expect. And he's not here to overwhelm you, but to settle on you, to rest on you, to speak over you, to lead you home. And our worship team can come. Maybe today the biggest shift you need isn't more effort. We've been talking a lot about this. It is one of my biggest learnings right now. I don't know if that's a pastoral word that I just made up, learning. I don't know. Or it just sounds like some Southern Oregon hick dude, which I am, you know. Living in a ville, Jacksonville, right? But I am learning that more on a personal level, but also in a spiritual level, and as a pastoral level as well, about awareness, to be aware of where he's working and knowing that it could be disruptive, but it's intentional from him because he wants to work and move. And sometimes I don't know that it's as much that he is asking me to do something for someone else as much as he wants to do something in me. Oh, that's why I don't like it. I thought it was about them because I can do good at that, right? Deal with them, help them, all that, until he brings something up in me that he wants to mess with. And then I get defensive and no, I'm not. And yes, you are, you know, it sounds like talking to our spouses, huh? All right, sorry. The Holy Spirit isn't far from you. He rests, he reveals, he leads you home. So maybe just for a moment, what we can do is just quiet everything. Let's do that. Let's just stop. We got plenty of time. Take a deep breath. Maybe you need to close your eyes to kind of concentrate. He rests. And he reveals who he is and who you are. You need to hear that today. And he leads us. If you're here and you're saying, I need the presence of God again, not hype, not noise, but presence. And maybe you could do this. You don't have to. It's just an invitation. Maybe right where you're at, you could just open your hands in a receptive manner. If you want to get crazy, do two hands. If you just want to kind of keep it calm, just one, it's fine. Maybe a simple prayer for you is, Holy Spirit, don't just visit me, rest on me. Lord, even for me in that, if I know you're intentional, like if I know who you are and what you say and how you feel about me, and now I know you're intentional, the disruptive part, I think I can do it. I believe, so help me with my unbelief. Rest on us. Rest on me. The second little part to that is some of you are tired trying to prove something. You're exhausted. You're tired of striving, of trying to be enough. But I would proclaim that today God wants to remind you of who he is, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, what he's done for you. But even more, maybe today it's who you are. So for you, if that's you today, one of the responses and invitations is to take your hand and place it over your heart. Holy Spirit, speak. Speak identity into the lives of those that follow you. There may even be somebody that's doing this that just sees what they can be because of you. And may they hear all of the folks that are doing this. You are my son. You are my daughter. May they hear from you, Father, I love you. And I am pleased with you. You are my son. You are my daughter. I love you. I'm pleased with you. You are my son. You are my daughter. I love you. I'm pleased with you. And this third spot for me is this sense of home, that he leads us home. Some of you may feel far from God. Not because God left you, but maybe you could describe it like life pulled you and sin is destroying you. But the Spirit is pulling you home. You're more like the prodigal son. Maybe you're even saying like, I don't know, if I could just go home and just serve. If I don't deserve anything, I've blown it, but I think I'll go home. Home for me is with God. If that's you, then you can say something like, you can do anything with your hands at that matter. You might just, some form of just, God, please, I hear you. And maybe your response is, God, forgive me. I'm coming home. God, I'm coming home. In all those cases, we're here to pray with you today. But if you would stand with me, and maybe we can all go back to that first part and just say, Lord, rest upon us. We'll sing a couple songs. You can come get prayer. I'll come back up. Holy Spirit, rest on us. Rest on your people, Lord, with an intentional, disruptive presence that empowers them for you and your glory. Father, today as we sing and respond, reveal who they truly are with an identity that anchors them in your love. And lead us home, especially those of us that often get kind of messed up, tweaked out. We don't think we can make it. Some storm in our life, some enemy that's messing with us, some experience that's so loud that we can't even hear you. But may the Spirit of God be louder than all that. Lead us home, restoring what's been lost and bringing us back to you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.